Have you ever wondered what happens when you give a professional dominatrix a microphone? Well, you're about to find out. Let's talk about whips, chains, cuffs, oh my. Let's venture beyond 50 Shades. It's time to bow down to the host of Mischief Matters, Mistress Shari, but that's ma'am to you.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to Mischief Matters Radio with your hostess, Mistress Shari. And I'm here with my trusty little sidekick here, Katniss, who I can't stop staring at the earphones that just kind of like scream, I'm a cat. There's no other way to describe it. They're cat ear headphones with lights that light up. Okay, so totally appropriate for tonight's subject, too. Like, what's it like when you're kinky in a vanilla world? Like, if you go out with these kinds of headphones on, do they give you away? That kind of thing.
I don't think they do. I think it's, you know, just makes me a little special.
Special, yes. I would definitely say you're special. In the best way. I don't misunderstand. Tonight we are going to discuss what it's like being kinky in a vanilla world, and I think it's kind of appropriate since we've all been kind of trapped in our vanilla worlds for quite some time, and I think a lot of us are dying to like break out of our shells and be our kinky selves again. What do you think, Katniss? Do you think that's
Yeah,
I think
the problem is that for us, you know, quote unquote kinky people, there isn't a way to express ourselves in our normal place. There's no events,
right.
There's no conventions, you know. So if we mostly have vanilla quote unquote friends, how do we navigate our secret lives? You know, we're like Batman and Robin.
I know, and it's like stifling because even, you know, I mean, I have an entire wardrobe that I've been dying to wear. Like, I can't even wear some of my cooler clothes because what am I going to do, like, put on a cat suit to go get the mail?
I mean, you could for me.
I'm sure.
Wow.
That would be tremendous, but, you know, I think it's a little overdressed and a little much to get the mail. And I'm just saying, like, I have this kind of, you know, desire to, like, break out my kink again and like, you know, get out there and be proud. I mean, I find now the people that I do get to hang out with, the people that I do get to spend time with, they're not my kink family.
Yeah,
you know,
definitely.
They're not in my bubble, but, you know, the socially acceptable, socially distant bubble that we're all allowed to have. My kink family, unfortunately, a lot of them can't be part of it. So, you know, I find myself surrounded with people who are, like, not very well-educated on kink, yet they're watching the Netflix shows, and they're reading their books. And they know to ask me, you know, questions, or they're having discussions, and I'm doing a lot of face-palming. Do you find that?
Yeah, I noticed, like, you know, most of the way, especially since I'm a millennial, so most of the way that I, you know, gather my kink community in general is via the interwebs, which I think is much, which is much different for you and how you're used to it, like meeting people. So it's a little bit easier for us to navigate because, you know, that's how we make friends. Like,
your friends
are online.
Yes.
What I find,
you have that built-in anonymity where I have to cultivate it,
yeah,
and I have to protect it. And that's one of the frustrating things for me is that if I am with people who are discussing books like 50 Shades or, you know, whatever the new ones are right now, and they're talking about stuff and they have opinions about it or they have thoughts and they think it's one way, and I'm going, oh, God, no, that's not it. Oh, God, no, please don't think that that's what that is. And inside, I'm, like, boiling because I want to correct their behavior, but I have to, you know, maintain my alter ego. I have to not be out and about with my kids. It's maybe not appropriate for me to tell everybody I know all the answers in that moment. And it's very frustrating. I have no outlet then to let it go in. You know, I have no
way. Yeah, and then you also have to, you know, hone yourself because, you know, one of your things with me is that I am on, like, all these groups on Facebook and FetLife and this or that or Instagram. And just so you all know, you can follow us on all those wonderful social media platforms. You know, we have a Facebook page, Mischief Matters. We have an Instagram, which they're all new. They're the same, but they're updated names just so it's easier to get to. Everything is Mischief Matters instead of, like, this person, that person, whatever. Anyway, point saying is that, you know, you always tell me, it's like, they're not real.
Right.
Like, the people on the other side of the screen aren't real. So you don't have to engage if you don't agree. Or, so, like, recently there's a group that I was on, and they were talking about old guard and protocols and, like, what's the difference between protocols and stuff like that, and, like, seeing what a protocol would be like in a vanilla world, like, the vanilla world, like,
right.
You know.
It's so easy to find in the vanilla world. People don't really
get it. Yeah, like, so, like, something you might not realize that a protocol that we do, if you're just the vanilla person, and remember, vanilla is just somebody who doesn't like any kind of, you know, it's just plain old, yeah, you know, missionary sex, is, like, I'll stand to the right of Mistress Shari and, like, one step behind her. And, you know, to just the wandering eye, it's just this person's just standing a little bit behind. They're a little slow. Like, whatever. And, but on the group, they were talking about how, I lost my train of thought because it's one of those days. It's actually to the left and not to the right that a submissive is supposed to stand for your dominant. And I'm like, no, that's not the way it is. That's not how I was taught. But I stopped myself because I'm like, maybe I'm wrong, and maybe this is just the way I was taught, and my mistress likes it. You know, so she has taught me to bite my tongue.
Yeah, because, and that is the thing, too.
Got my tongue.
Yeah, look at that. One of the things that, you know, as a dominant, in order for your relationship with your sub to work, is you have to cultivate it to make it work for you, both of you, so that you're sustainable. I'm right-handed. I listen better with my right. I talk to my right. I need my sub on my right because that's where I'm going to look for him instinctively. So that is how I train him. So, yeah, I don't know. That's a great thing. Like, I'm sure there is something that it is maybe supposed to be on one side or the other, and it is worth researching and looking because now I'm curious. But
I looked it up already.
Oh, you did? And what was it?
It's on the left.
It's on the left. So I like it on the right because I'm right-handed, and that's how it goes because I'm the dominant. I said so. But that's the point. I tell Katniff all the time, when you're discussing your own relationship, your own dynamic, the only people that matter, the only opinions that matter are the ones that actually are involved in the decision-making. That's it. There's no BDSM police. Nobody's going to knock on your door and say, oh, I'm sorry, you stood on the right today. We have to take him away. Like, that's not going to happen. So, it's always fascinating how many people know everything on the Internet. It's incredible how knowledgeable they are on the Internet, but, you know, we can all make the argument that in person, maybe not so much. But that does always beg the question, because people do think they always know what they're talking about, and they know every answer, especially when it came to 50 Shades. Oh, nobody was surprised. Like, they knew everything, whatever. And, you know, even though we don't get to go out much and we don't get to go out in public and participate, even, like, go to a movie lately. But I always wonder, you do wear a play collar. You wear a padlock chain around your neck. So do people see that who are vanilla and, like, are like, why are you wearing that? Like, what does that mean? Like, what experience is that for you is what I want to know. when people notice it who are vanilla that don't actually know what it means.
And I'm just going to be a snarky boy for a minute and catch you up that you called it a play collar.
Well,
we could have that discussion another time.
Okay. But point is that
yeah, so
that
when people
public.
See, so I do wear
Let's
a collar.
Point, okay?
Yes, I know. I like to be snarky sometimes.
I know.
So, no, actually, nobody's ever asked me about it.
Really?
I've never had anybody ask me about besides my mom.
Which, that in and of itself.
And that's a whole other show.
Yeah, we can table that one.
You know, find us on Facebook or something.
Let's
and if you want,
for Mother's Day.
I was going to say, if you want to hear about that lovely...
Yes,
that would be really great, like, to have a conversation about how our mothers responded to our lifestyle since...
That would be a great Mother's Day episode.
Yeah.
In fact, if anybody would like to contribute to how their own mother reacted, you can
send in your story.
At radio@mischiefmatters.com.
Yeah, that would be really...
Send it there.
Interesting. We could read all the horror stories and the wonderful stories.
Right, and the fantastic ones. You know we're going to come across one where someone will be like, I told my mom I'm into this, and all of a sudden my mom was like, oh, my God, you should try this. You know that's going to happen.
Well, yeah.
Someone's going to have that story. I want that.
I came across one of those stories on one of my Facebook groups.
Yeah.
But it was actually a therapist Facebook group. So it's, yeah, but.
So the plot thickens.
Yeah, the plot thickens. But anyway, I haven't actually had anybody ask me personally about my collar, but I have other friends in the scene when I was living in, like, Philadelphia who were asked about their collars and whether or not they were what they meant, you know, because they were a little bit more noticeable, I guess you would say, to being, like, locked or, like, dog collar-esque.
Okay, so they were more of a, like... Really
yeah.
Noticeable.
Yeah. So like, if you don't see the lock on the back of mine, which is generally like under my shirt, you just think it's just this like chain link.
So they think you're like manly. All right.
Dude.
Fair enough. So yeah, because that's just always choice. Because you know that is one of the things like you know in these dynamics that very often the bottom, the sub, is denoted by jewelry, by some kind of marketing. That actually denotes their station, who they are. Where the dominant, you know, may or may not be. I mean, it's sometimes how they carry themselves or whatnot, but it's not necessarily like, you know, it's not like I have a blinking neon sign on my back. Although, actually, no, that's true. Sometimes I have it in rhinestone where it just says Mr. Shari, and that's kind of a giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't wear that out in public, though.
No, not that.
Not at least the
regular public.
Yeah, no. I know, it's so funny because I always think, you know, when people came up to me and they're like, oh, you're a pro-dom. But they honestly think that I am going to the grocery store, you know, with you.
Whips and chains.
And you on a leash crawling behind me. Like,
yeah.
No, I'm a regular
person. I just sent you that article about a lady was seen in the grocery store.
Because she was just dying to get out.
With a submissive on a leash and collar. And, you know,
I mean, I might do that if I was getting paid by a client to do that, but that's not, like, my choice. That's not, like, how I go out in public these days.
Yeah, I think that's one of the misconceptions people have of...
That dogs aren't regular people, too.
No, but of people in the... people of the community in general, that, like, we're, like, these deviants that are, like, trying to throw our kinks and fetishes in people's faces.
Right.
When
but
really, like...
within our own community sometimes. Like, when other submissives... When they come up against a pro-dom, they're always like, oh, my God, you must be doing this all the time. Your feet must be so tired walking in.
Or you're not really a dom.
Yeah. That's
another.
They don't say that to me. But it's just, you know, it's true. There's this misconception. There's this idea that, you know, if you're kinky, you can't cope with the vanilla world. You can't function inside it. But, like, no, I blend in just like everyone else.
I think what it comes up to is like when people ask about like, so when people ask like, oh, who is this catnip to you? Why is this person always with you? Like for you,
right?
You know, like how do you explain? Well, I mean, now most of your family and like friends,
well, now they
know
the cat's out of the bag, but
you know, literally.
but for a long time, you were my assistant.
Yeah, you're just the assistant because you can't
Right, and
navigate
that. That's why she treats him so lowly, because he's an assistant. He's just one step above intern.
That's why he carries her bag.
Yeah, exactly. Nobody thought anything of it. But no, it's true, though. You know, how do you explain it to your family when you have, you know, some relationship like ours, which is both personal and professional? Of course my family's going to know about you. Like, how can I hide you at this point? So
I'm not easy to hide.
No. But, like, so how do you explain this to your family? How do you tell people in your life that, like, no, yes, I have this life, and then I have this life?
Mm-hmm.
And it is very hard for people to understand sometimes. It's very hard for them to imagine, because I think people, if they can't imagine it for themselves, they can't possibly imagine it for you.
And for some people in the community, they don't want other people in the vanilla world to know.
Right.
They want to keep it to themselves. Yeah, like
keeping it to themselves. And I find nothing wrong with that, by the way.
And I think it's interesting, like, and I've never really picked the brain of my vanilla friends or people that I know, which I'll be exciting to kind of pick a brain of vanilla after our commercial break. Of like,
oh, that's right. We do have a special guest tonight.
Of what they think, or what comes across their head when they come across of, like, wait,
they give them a radio, you know, they say to them,
well, yeah,
no, you should be on the radio, you should have your own show. That's really what happens. But I think it doesn't happen for all the kinky people in the world. But no, it is true. Like, it is fascinating, because vanilla people find us fascinating. That we're kinky, oh my God. And they think, like, we must be having sex 24/7. How do we possibly have time to have a radio show? Which is ironic, because clearly I wouldn't have ever, I mean, if I was doing that 24/7, I wouldn't have been on the radio in the first place to get
my Yeah.
You know, I have a regular life. I do regular things. I go grocery shopping online. I'm not going to leave my house. But no, I mean, I do regular things, and I have this other facet to my life, which to me is no different than somebody being like an avid basketball player as their hobby. Or, I mean, okay, so it's a little bit more than a hobby. yeah.
I mean, I think, you know, I think people don't realize it's more than sex, because our mainstream,
right. I think that's
our mainstream media, you know, I'm rewatching Law and Order SVU from season one.
Oh, because that's such happy.
And I'm happy on season four, and like, I would say out of like the first four seasons, 90% of the episodes were based around some sort of BDSM,
or they assumed it
was BDSM. Connection
well,
with sex.
They do that, though. Anytime there's bruising associated with sex, or somebody gets physically hurt during sex in a movie, on the news, whatever it is, they associate it with some kind of deviant sexual behavior. And the irony is that BDSM is anything but deviant in the devious sense. Like,
and also, it doesn't have to be sexual.
Right. But there are rules inside our behaviors. There are, like you said before, protocols. There's an old guard. There's a system. There's a procedure of the way we do things and negotiate our scenes and perform. And there's a method to our... It's not just like, you know, let me just grab these whips off the wall and see what happens. Like, we don't wing it, is my point.
Yeah.
We don't wing it. It's very methodical and thought out. And from beginning to end, all the way into the aftercare, like, that's part of scening. You're not done when you're done spanking. You're done when the scene is over. And that can include aftercare. So it's anything but, like, malicious.
And I think
when I say devious, I'm talking about the maliciousness of the devious.
I think that's what the normies, if you want to call them.
Now we're labeling them.
Yes. The vanilla world has a harder time realizing that, because that's all they see.
Right.
You know, so when somebody, quote unquote, comes out to them saying that they live a kinky or BDSM lifestyle, they're like, you know, like you said, oh, you have sex all the, like, no.
Yeah,
like,
but you're going to hell.
You're, you, 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 uh, you know, want golden showers. And it's like,
right, and they immediately go to, like, the more gross.
Yeah, and that's not what it is.
Yeah, the more fetish side of it. And the truth is that BDSM dynamic, if you run the statistics, like if you did the research, those relationships last longer. They are healthier. They have better communication within them. I mean, we've discussed this time and time again. Every time I teach a class, every time I am talking with a new client about, you know, why they like what they like, it's always the same thing. Like, the people who engage in this sort of behavior actually tend to lead more organized, healthier lives because there's structure inside BDSM. There's rules. It's a, what's the word I'm looking, it's like it gives you a sense of purpose and a sense of belonging. So it's not just like this, you know, throw it to the wind and, you know, throw noodles against the wall and hope something sticks. And I think that people have this misconception that it is dirty and bad and wrong.
If you guys are just catching in on us, this is Mischief Matters Radio. We're talking about living kinky in a vanilla life.
Thank you, Catnip.
I'm Catnip, and I'm here with my wonderful mistress, Mistress Shari of Mischief Matters.
Totally keeping me on time tonight, which is wonderful.
So. Again, also, you want to get in contact with us, you can get us on Instagram, mischief_matters, Twitter, Mischief Matters, and Facebook, Mischief Matters. Made it easy for you.
Last time it was across the board.
Yeah.
And also, you know, if you want to email us directly, that's radio@mischiefmatters.com. See how easy we made it for you? But, yeah, and if, you know, if you contact us on any of those platforms, we try to get back to you in a timely manner. But it may be me or it could be Catnip. Just be aware of that. It's sometimes one or both of us. But we are talking about what it's like living, you know, kinky in a vanilla world. And it's always very interesting, especially when you are somebody who is very proud of what you do. You know, I'm not shy about it. I don't hide it. I'm not embarrassed by it. I love it. I do good work as far as I'm concerned. I make, you know.
You're a doer of good deeds.
I am a good deed doer.
No good deed goes unpunished in your line of work.
That's not quote broadly. It's totally amazing. But I will say it is very satisfying would be the wrong word. I enjoy immensely when I am with a client who is experiencing their kink for the first time or finally has the balls to show up and have a session with me. Like they actually made it there. And then they get with me and we talk a little bit at the beginning of their session and they find out that they are not the only one who thinks, like just to watch their whole body relax and the excitement begin because they're like, oh, I can experience this in safety. Like without the judgment, oh, and I'm not the first person to do this. I'm not the first person. This is normal. When I'm with somebody who experiences that for the first time, you know, where they have that moment, that's like the magic. That's like why I do what I do. I mean, it sounds so silly, but it is the truth. Like, there's something truly magical about watching somebody be okay with feeling okay. about something that is not okay.
I feel that way. You know, going back to the, you know, like when you're in a vanilla circle of friends and like you know, come out and start talking about some of your kinks or fetishes.
And then somebody's
like, wait, like, yeah, I do that.
Right.
Like,
or I don't have one of those toys. You can take me to buy one and they'll let me trust you.
And they start to wonder like, oh, wait, maybe I'm really not as vanilla as I thought I was. Maybe I am a little kinky.
Right.
You know,
maybe I'm a little bit adventurous. I'm not so staid and, you know, provincial.
Yeah. Or like, crap, my life sucks and I'm super boring.
Or who found out that I use my Catholic schoolgirl costume still to this day? Oh, my.
You're Jewish, though.
Yeah, I know, but that's why I have a Catholic school costume.
Oh, okay.
Not uniform. See how that, and I don't wear that anymore. Well, now it's more of the
teacher.
You know, the teacher, yeah, definitely more the teacher.
Never the nun.
Never the nun. I no. You have to wear white. You just throw white in there. Mm-mm, we don't do that. I mean, the most color we get is purple or maybe a little red, but, you know, I am 100%, you know, all black. It's much, much smoother for me. Plus, it's less thought has to go into it. It's much easier to find my clothes. They all match. But no, really, it's fascinating that people are, you know, even when they hide their kink in the world and they're embarrassed of it or they're shamed by it, and when they find out that they're not alone, that they that there's a community that they can reach out to. Like, that's the thing. When you're on those Facebook groups, when you're on those discussions and stuff, they are wonderful because you have this community, these people who think like you, who fantasize like you do, imagine like you do, want like you do. You know, your same hopes and dreams and goals.
Yeah.
But
you're not going to find that at, like, your standard book club.
Right. That doesn't happen at B'nai B'rith. So you're not going to so in that respect, they're wonderful and they're good, but you have to be very careful. There are pitfalls to those groups. Because of the anonymity of it, people do feel free to bully and say what you want. And you have to have responsible monitors. I find the groups that have responsible monitors are very nice groups to belong to. They are a wealth of information. Many of those groups, like, they, you know, hoard documents and stuff so that you can, you know, find out about your kink and your fetish, find out who else likes it. But it's, and that's the thing, too. Being parts of those groups, discovering your community, you learn about fetishes that you didn't know were a fetish. Like, I will never forget being at Exotica. I think it was our first year. And, you know, and I'm working the booth for the club and everything. And this group comes up and they hand me their business card. Their business card is printed on a balloon because they're lunars. It's a club where the fetish is ballooning.
Yeah.
And I got to tell you, I'm a pro dom, and I am looking at these people open mouth and wide eyed, going, "Oh, this is a thing. Like, I must know more."
Because actually, I think I saw that on a TLC episode of like my weird fetish.
Whatever, it's fascinating. And even watching them discuss balloons popping is magnificent to watch because they're like, oh my God, oh my God. I mean.
Yeah, find the thing that gets you excited and be excited about it.
And start a club.
I mean, you only got one life, YOLO.
Right, but I'm saying, like, that's why I'm saying, like, people think BDSM is so dirty and kink is so dirty, or kink this umbrella. Yeah, you know what? Your kink could be watching people pop balloons with their asses. But that's your kink. How deviant and dirty is that? That is a kink you can explain from your childhood. I mean, that it's all about anticipation. It's all about just, oh my God, when? I mean, it doesn't work for me, but I get why it works for someone else. And it's just so funny because it's not what I would consider overtly kinky. So we're going to take a short break right now. And when we come back, we are going to have our guest for the evening. We are going to talk to G.L. Henderson, who...
the king of relationship drama.
Yeah. So who better to talk about kinky in a vanilla world than the king of relationship drama? You got to know there's got to be a lot of relationship drama about, I don't like that kink.
Or he might not even know what we're talking about.
Right, or he may not even know that there is kink. So, yeah, so we're going to speak to GL when we come back. See you in a few moments.
Market for kinky and not quite vanilla people to connect with, date, or even just enjoy some adult fun? Maybe you're looking for the chance to learn from experts on relationships, sex, and kink education topics. Hi, I'm Nookie Notes, and if you answered yes to those questions, I invite you to check out my site, Dating Kinky. At Dating Kinky, we provide a one-of-a-kind dating site experience. You'll find an education hub with live and on-demand classes and workshops, books, and more, and an interactive community where people from around the world can meet and engage. And coming up on the horizon, look for the premiere of our Dating Kinky app, due to be released in February 2021. For more details, come check out our website at datingkinky.com. You can also follow us on Twitter at Dating Kinky and on Instagram at Dating Kinky Official. I look forward to meeting you. Thanks, and have a kinky day.
Brought to you by Mistech. Welcome to the future. Go to mistech.net for the full story, but in the meantime, stop thinking about leveling up and just get some Mistech. People all around the world share their experience and love how they feel after putting it on. We offer a 30-day money-back guarantee, along with a lifetime warranty. WTF? What the frequency? Find out today at mistech.net.
Hello, Arnold Schwarzenegger here with an important announcement. You may remember me from movies like The Terminator, but I would like to talk about one particular movie where I go to Mars. There is this mountain called Pyramid Mountain, and all this crazy alien shit goes on inside it. Do you think that's all science fiction? Think again, my friend. That's why you have to tune in to Pyramids on Mars UFO radio show on ArthasFirst.com. My friend Kevin Estrella, he is in a band called Pyramids on Mars. He has also been contacted by aliens. This guy has been a guest on over 15 UFO radio talk shows, so you have to listen to him. There's something going on, and it can't be ignored. He interviews people who have been abducted by aliens. He interviews alien-human hybrids. This is no bullshit. So get to the chopper! Do whatever you have to do and go listen. Get your ass to Mars. Pyramids on Mars. UFO radio.
That's right. At 10 p.m. every second Wednesday on ArtistFirst.com, it's the worldwide internet show, the G.L. Henderson Radio Hour. Tune in to hear his special guests, from professionals, live topics, and get a blast from the past with musical legends like Lisa, The Temptations.
I know you want to leave me, but I refuse to let you go.
Manhattans.
Honey,
Shanice, Shirley Murdoch, Dana Dane,
to make it interesting, it's me, Dana Dane,
Tina Marie, and more. Tune in to the G.L. Henderson Radio Hour, the king of relationship drama fiction, every second Wednesday at 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on ArtistFirst.com.
Hi, and welcome back to Mischief Matters Radio with your hostess, Mr. Shari, and her boy, Catnip. And we are talking about what it's like being kinky, living in a vanilla world. And we are waiting for our guest to join us as well. We do have a special guest tonight we're going to ask a few questions to. And in the meantime, though, while we're waiting for him to join us, we were talking about on the break something else that comes up a lot.
Yeah, I was just thinking about how, you know, when talking to even people coming into the BDSM scene, and they're like, oh, well, how do you meet people, especially especially people like, especially during COVID, but just in general, like, how do you meet people? What are kind of things? And, like, is it only play
right,
parties?
Right, it's not like BDSM swipe left and right.
Yeah.
That's not how we do it.
Are people only doing X, Y, and Z? You know, and we're like, well, you know, we do more than just, like, you know, beat each other up or have
or
sex
poke each
or whatever.
Other, yeah.
Like, whatever you think, like, we are normal human beings in a you know, I hate
to throw out, we go to dinner.
I hate to throw out that word, but, like, you know, one of the main things as a community that it started was things called munches.
Right, and those started, like, way before there was an internet. Like, that's been around since the 60s and 70s, as I understand it, where people within the kink community would just gather monthly at a local restaurant in their regular street clothes, and they would just get to meet each other and be able to form friendships and relationships based on a common, you know, interest. It's like joining a book club or an art club.
But we call them munches. I even host one if you're in the New Jersey area. In Northern Jersey, you can find our munch. And
it's funny that some people will joke around and say that, you know, they're coming for Bible study.
Right.
That's like the code word.
And my favorite is like when I say, oh, yeah, no, we meet at this local restaurant, blah, blah, blah. And their next question is like, oh, my God, is it like a sex party and everybody gets naked? I'm like, no, we're meeting at a restaurant.
There's pizza.
Yeah, like, we're going to eat. We're going to have some food in a public place. So
let's
do we
go
have
eat.
Our
guest? Yep. GL's on.
Yes. Welcome, GL. How are you?
I'm good. I am so sorry. I was scrolling through trying to find this number when you needed it. Anyway, yeah, I couldn't find it, but I'm here.
Okay, now, and here I thought you were a pro all this time.
I know, right? I was just like, oh, gosh, this sucks. But yeah, I'm here. Well, thank you guys for having me.
Well, you're welcome. We're excited that you could be with us tonight, especially since, you know, we were talking about what it's like, you know, having a kink and living out in the real world, and what came up for us was... You know, what it's like when you are considered vanilla and you meet people that are out with their kinkiness. Like, what's it like for you on your end when you meet people like me?
You know, first of all, for people that are listening that probably tuning in, like, for me coming on right now, I'm not sure, you know, and probably new listeners. So can you explain again, like, what is vanilla?
What is vanilla? Okay, so... Vanilla really is anyone who is just, you know, kind of like, I don't want to say boring, but they're just regular with their sex life. It's just standard.
Yeah.
They don't.
So vanilla, so.
You know, they like the missionary position. They like the lights off. You know, they're not exactly tying each other up and covering each other with whipped cream.
Yeah. When you're thinking of vanilla ice cream, you're thinking of something
plain,
simple.
It's like yogurt without fruit on the bottom.
Not as fun.
Right.
Okay. So, okay, so I'm probably vanilla with some topping on it or something. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know.
So a little bit of, like, maybe some wet walnuts, that kind of thing?
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, I'll probably spruce it up with some bananas or something. You know what I mean? But it just all depends. But I don't think I'm full vanilla. You know what I mean? Like,
so maybe you're, like,
yeah.
A little vanilla swirl.
Yeah, you know, like your cover. You know, like a... That's good. And,
yeah, little swirl in your vanilla.
Yeah.
I got it. But like,
yeah,
but what?
Yeah.
But when you meet people like me and Catnip, when you talk to us, or like you and I have met, what do you think? Like, what goes through? Like,
well,
like,
first
honestly,
of all, when we
I
met,
think
you
people
were
when
not
they, when
on,
they meet me,
you were
think
not
I'm
doing this. Slut. First of all, when we first met, you were not doing this. Like you,
no,
you
I wasn't
know,
this. No, you're right.
Yeah, you know so. You know, to be honest with you, like, even with me writing erotica-type stuff, and, you know, I go into my novels and I go pretty deep with them, but you take someone like us who we just watch movies, right? We don't really know if we're interacting with someone who dives into, you know, things outside of what you would consider, you know, vanilla people normal sex lives.
Right, like we don't put it on the back of our jersey.
Right, yeah. So we don't, you know. So when we do, it's almost like we're meeting celebrities of the sex world, if I could put it that way. You know what I mean? Like these are, you know, like these are the freaking rock stars right here. You know, these are the celebrities of the sex world. We just don't know your names. You know what I mean? Like it's just,
right.
We don't know who you are, but it's just like, oh shit. So when I found out, like, you know, you're doing this, like, the first thing came to my mind was, like, 50 Shades of Grey, of course. You know,
sure.
But then there's other people out there who write erotica, like Zane and some other people who write and dive into these, or you see movies like 8mm with Nicolas Cage, right?
And they really take it to more of a real life level.
Yeah, so when we run across, like you guys and... Catnip. I mean, what the fuck is the name Catnip? Like, that shit is awesome. You know what I mean? Like, you know what I mean? Like, you run across guys, and then it's like our minds just freaking goes.
Right. I mean, and I don't want to burst your bubble, but you know it doesn't say Catnip on his driver's license, right?
It should, though.
It should. We're lobbying for it. But it's not there yet. But I get what you're saying.
You know what I mean? Like, it just goes into a whole different mindset for us. And then we start thinking about the worst case scenario of BDSM, you know, sex life, right. And you know, the gagging, the whips, and the, you know,
but
the
you
pegging.
You immediately go to Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, like it just goes, it goes to the extreme, basically. Like no one thinks about, and I was listening to you guys, like ballooning, you know, stuff like that. Like nobody was thinking about.
Exactly. They're all thinking about me running around with somebody behind me in a gimp mask, not somebody like being excited about balloons.
A gimp mask, in case anybody doesn't know, is like a leather mask that completely like covers the whole entire face.
And it usually has a zipper where, for the mouth.
Yeah.
So that
and again, Pulp Fiction.
Yeah, again, like, well, yes, but yeah, well, you know, you got to draw on where people might know the imagery from, you know, and that
American Horror Story. That was the season with the gimp mask, the gimp suit.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
You know, but it's true. But you know, it's funny because if you look at, you know, I just did I just taught a class recently on, you know, being how I'm the accidental dom, and I talk about the different archetypes of dominatrixes, and so many of our culture, like our films and our movies, our villains are sadists.
Right.
You know, like that, like they paint a sadist as a villain always. So we always think they're bad, you know? And, you know, like when you think of a sadist, you think like a Nurse Ratched, you think like a witch, you think, you know, somebody evil, somebody making you pay for your, you know, whatever. But, you know, some of us are just sadists because we find it funny when you trip and fall.
Right.
You know, I mean, granted, we may place the Lego strategically so that you trip and fall, but it's funny to us, and it's, you know, and we do it out of the sadistic sweetness of our hearts. But you know, it's my point is that sadism and dominance doesn't always have to be nasty. It doesn't always have to be mean, but there is that, you know, yeah, conception. But you know, we
well, just in case anybody is just tuning in,
thank you.
This is Miss Just Matters Radio with Miss Just Shari, and we have our guests today, GL Henderson, and I'm Catnip. And you can catch GL on the second Wednesdays at 10 p.m. on his own show, because he's the king of relationship drama right here on Artist First.
Fiction, didn't
I don't know.
Which one do you go by? We were having a little argument about that.
You know, it's actually fiction, because when I say drama and you just drop the fiction off of it, people think that I'm just out here creating chaos.
Right. Oh, and you're not?
I'm just documenting other people's chaos.
Yeah, we want, which, you know, speaking of which, we have this little tradition that Catnip and I are going to start where, you know, we like to ask our guests like some interesting questions about themselves. So,
oh,
you know, relax, they're fine.
I'm here for it. I am here for it.
Yeah, no, this one you're going to love. So,
okay.
You know, using a candy bar, describe your sex life.
Using a candy bar?
Yeah, like, you know, the name of a candy bar. Which candy bar would describe your sex life?
Oh, shit, and I love candy bars, too. I would go with a Snickers, because it's just the closest thing to a turtle, because I don't consider a turtle a candy bar, but almost have, you know, similar
content. I see where you're going with this, because, you know, that, you know, when you say that to someone like me, that goes in a whole other direction.
Yeah, I was thinking slow and steady wins the race.
And I'm thinking turtle, like, you know, popping the head out of the shell. Like, I had a whole different turtleneck.
Yeah, I had a whole different thing.
Yeah, that's exactly where I went with that. But I get, you're talking about the caramel, the nuts, the whole, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, like one of those really good things, Savannah. But, okay, so that's how you would, so it's like, a, you know, kind of like a little bit of everything, just sort of like, see where it lands.
Yeah, you know, like, okay, so here's a funny story about the Snicker, if I kind of relate it to my life now that I'm thinking about this thing. That's a freaking awesome, weird question. So I used to take a Snicker, and I would just take the wrapper off of it, and I'm sitting here holding this thing, and I would literally nibble around and eat all of the chocolate off of the Snicker. So if I'm thinking about relating this to sex,
satisfies like a Snicker thing seriously.
What's that?
because you're taking their whole, like, you know, they have that whole nothing, what is there, nothing satisfies like a snicker, like you're taking it personally. Go on. I was interrupting it.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, like, so if I'm relating it to sex, like me eating that chocolate from around it is almost like my foreplay with, you know, with sex. So I'm taking my time with eating this chocolate off of it. So I'm
avoiding the nuts. I like that philosophy. Avoid the nuts.
Yeah, I'm avoiding it, but I'm still into it. You know what I mean? Like, I'm still into the sex part of it, but I'm savoring the moment, right? So that's me eating the chocolate off of this sticker. And then, you know, I go into, you know, allowing the snicker to enjoy me, if I want to say it like that. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't just go and start devouring the snicker. I literally would eat it and enjoy it too.
All right.
Yeah. And I just, you know, just enjoy the moment. Yeah. So, and every nut is not the same. Pun intended.
No, you're absolutely
you
right.
You know what I mean? So every nut is not the same.
I couldn't have said it better myself. Thank you.
But my version of the nut is not for me because, you know, men, once we do our thing, it's pretty much a wrap. So every nut that I'm eating is the nut that I would hope that the female is having and enjoying, not just one release or one,
so
you know,
it's them nutting.
Whatever.
And
it's them nutting. That's why I'm the snicker is enjoying me
what
at the moment.
What a beautiful euphemism you have painted for us.
You know what I mean? So at the end, I get the last nut. I get the last nut at the end. So I do.
Got it.
I literally just now will freaking have people eating Snickers. But go ahead.
As long as you let her nut first.
Right.
Yeah. So I eat all the chocolate first. I eat all the, I'm savoring it. But now the nuts are coming. You know what I mean? Like, so I'm taking in the nuts.
On this scenario. You just left it there.
That's the lube.
That's the lube. Oh, that's awesome. Well, that's what the wrapper's there for, to kind of like wipe that around.
That's what that's for, you know. And that's then guess what? So I got all of the juices all over my fingers, and I just clean it up, you know.
Got it. You know, that's really beautiful.
I hope I answered your question. But now.
Yeah, like panties and Snickers now.
Now I feel like a snicker.
Yeah, kind of like, you know, I'm totally going to have to send him like snicker stuff now all the time. But yeah, well, Christmas is now ruined for you.
I know, right? Snickers.
Yeah.
Oh, now, gosh.
Right. So next question we wanted to ask you, this one I was dying to ask you because I'm like, this is the perfect one for Jesus. In fact, when Kat had thought of it, I was like, oh, we're asking GL that one. So what celebrity would you want to dominate you?
Oh, gosh. Oh, gosh. Shit.
It's a good one because you really got to think about it. It's like, because there's a lot of celebrities you may want to be with, but which one would you give all the control to?
Okay, so with celebrities, I think that's a tough question for me because I don't know if I think about it like that because I don't want any of them to ruin my imagination. So
right.
I like to have my thought without it.
So how about
you're asking
how about
me
we go
the
with
question?
One of the characters that they play? That way it stays within the fiction of it.
Yeah, I mean, I'm fine with that. I'm trying to... You know, shit, good question.
I know.
In light of today, I would probably say Michelle Obama.
Really? Her hair looks fabulous.
Why?
Yeah, she could put your ass into shape, by the way. She just sort of look at you. She has that look.
I mean, between her and if I had to pick another one of an actor, it would probably be Angela Bassett.
Kick your ass.
Yeah, like if I'm looking at someone and say, okay, they can probably dominate me and still be sensual, will probably be you know, Angela Bassett, like, especially when she played in Tina Turner.
Right. Well, Tina Turner, she was
she was Jack, you know what I mean? But I think that she would, make a good mistress, you know what I mean? And
so I think she already is a good mistress.
I think all
already are. Yeah, I'm pretty sure Angela Bassett runs whatever show she's in. I'm so confident when I say
hey, it's Hollywood. I mean, shit, they probably are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, she's...
And just to be fair across the board, because, you know, I just think in diversity, Angelina Jolie and Salma Hayek, I think that they would also, you know, do well as well.
So Angelina Jolie is a common one for everybody. A lot of people pick her. A lot of women who don't even like women will pick Angelina Jolie.
Yeah, there's Angelina Jolie pre-Brad Pitt.
Well, yeah. Pre-anger.
She had anger. Well, you needed the angst. Like, Girl Interrupted,
no,
Angelina Jolie.
Billy Bob Thornton anger.
Like, right? Like, Boom Raider Angelina Jolie, not this, like, Mr. and Mrs. Smith shit.
Post-kid
adoption Angelina Jolie.
Post-humanitarian.
Post-humanitarian.
She's a very popular choice. A lot of people automatically
she fits it. I mean, she fits it. She just looks like
she's
out of dungeon. It looked like Brad looked out of dungeon because once Brad got with her, it looks like he just been tied up somewhere.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, if you could reverse it, what celebrity would you dominate?
All of them. Let's see.
Heal before me, peasant. Take them off. Throw money at you.
I would probably, I got to go with probably the number one choice. Probably a lot would be Halle Berry.
She was awesome in James Bond. I could see that, and she's kind of like cute and sweet. Yeah, you want to dominate her, but you know she's sneaky. She will turn that on you.
Yeah, that's the thing, though. I think that she's just a wild card. You know what I mean? Like, you just don't know which Halle you're going to get, Halle or Halle Berry or HB. You just don't know which personality you're going to get with her.
Exactly. And with women, you run that risk. You see, look, and I say this with love. With men, once you can read them, you can read them. Like, you know, if somebody were to ask me, like, what celebrities would I dominate? All I have to do is ask, who would like to be dominated? And you'd be surprised how many would raise their hand. So it's a totally different ideal. But
that's a good one.
That's a good one. I like that one. You'd look very good with her, by the way. Look nice. I thought I'd throw that out there.
I'll be shot dead.
I will say, post 9/11, because I was working in New York then, and I literally, like a week later, I was in a Gristiti's, and I literally bumped into a woman wearing a gray sweatshirt, hair like wrapped up. It was Halle Berry, and she still looked magnificent. She was dressed like she, you know, worked there. Like, I mean, and she looked magnificent. So that's why I say good choice. Like, I don't think that woman can look bad. So she would look great all tied up, and yeah, we could have some fun with that. All right, sorry, I digress. When you do, like, you know, think about it though, when and you run across, like, do you wonder sometimes what your friends are thinking, like, you know, like when you get to talk to kinky people and stuff, like, and you tell them that you do this, like, do you wonder what they're thinking in their head?
No, because if it's, you know, coming from me, I don't think so, because I write it, you know what I mean, and I talk about it, and yeah, you know, so I think they start asking me more questions, you know, than anything. They're more inquisitive. Yeah,
people,
you know what I mean?
People want to know more than sometimes I'm even willing to tell, or they're always shocked to learn, like, that, yeah, I'm in yoga pants most of the time. Or my favorite is when everybody finds out, what do you mean that they're naked and you're not? That's always my thing. I'm like, yeah, of course I'm not. You know, they can do what they want. That's their, you know, their thing. But like, it's incredible to me sometimes what people think I do versus what I actually do.
Yeah, you know, and I think that is the people that probably like on my regular job or whatever, when they find out that I have this whole other persona, that those are the ones that are caught off guard, you know, but the people who know me are.
And then they think you're having sex like all the time with millions of people. That's the other thing that they think, that you have this amazing, because you write about it or because you work in it or whatever, you must be having this amazing sex life. And it's like, that's still just as hard for us to meet people.
Well, it's just even worse because, like, you know, I remember when I first wrote my book, you know, I was seeing this girl when I first wrote my book and she read it. And this was my first time encountering, like, someone who was a fan, but, you know, I was dating, but I didn't know what being fans and all this stuff was about. But she literally thought that her life with me was going to be like the book.
Like the book.
The character, right. Like a character in my book. She thought that I was going to be the fantasy master and life was just going to be this great big fantasy. And then when things were just going to normal relationship stuff,
right.
Well, you need to be more like the guy in the book.
You have to decide what takeout you want tonight. Like, you have to make real world decisions.
Yeah, like and I became the, you know, so they start calling me the fantasy master instead of my name and calling me the name of the book, you know, and it was just really weird. So when people encounter those type of, I encounter these type of people, it just becomes very, you know, now I just look at it very, you know, like, oh, okay, whatever, because they go to the far left again, even with me, like people do when we encounter someone like what you guys do.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I can't tell you how many times, like, I will, especially on the convention circuit or whatever, like, I'll make friends with somebody. I'll make a good friend with somebody. I have a lot in common with them. Whether they're male or female, it doesn't matter. You have great conversation. You talk with them. You have a great time. But you're kind of, like, in your character the whole time because you're at a convention. And then you're like, oh, like, yeah, we live so close to each other. Let's meet. Let's have dinner. And they meet you, and you show up, like, you know, with your hair in a ponytail and a pair of Uggs on. And they're all like, wait a minute. Where's your catnip on a leash? And how come you didn't bring your flock? And I'm like, because I'm at Burger King. Like, I can't talk that way here. you know? And they're, like, disappointed. And they're like, you know, because they have this idea that that's who we are all the time.
Where's all the leather?
You kind of are what you get. Like, Miss Shishari is what you get.
Yeah, exactly.
So, like, what you wear.
Right, I know.
What,
like,
you wear.
Yeah, like, I'm in black all the time. I wear high heel boots all the time because I like them.
Well, no pun intended. I'm in black all the time too, 24/7.
Yeah. Well played.
Well played.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, it is. I mean, I do sort of, like, I guess you're right, like, look the part, but I still am not 24. Like, you know, I like to let my hair down too once in a while. Is my point, you know? And it's just funny how all the vanilla world is always shocked that you like to just go home and, I don't know, put on pajamas and slippers and crack a beer and watch the news. Like, like anybody else would. They're always shocked.
How much time we got?
We've exactly 1 minute. We're done.
So, GL, just give the listeners a little bit about where they can find you and your show.
Say a word.
Plug yourself.
I'm good.
Plug
you
yourself.
Guys can find me, you guys can find me on like Artist.
I know. I'm just being nice.
I know, right? You guys can find me on artistfirst.com. Just come to the page and click on me. I'm every second Wednesday of the month. And you can find my book, The Fantasy Master, on Amazon. Just go to Amazon and type in, you know, GL Henderson, Fantasy Master. And you can find me on Facebook as well. All my handles are g.l.spacehenderson.
Okay, keep it simple, just like us.
Any parting words? Any
parting advice? You know what? If you were going to choose vanilla or chocolate, which one are you going to choose?
I'm going to go down the middle. I think that too much of anything isn't good. So I would just tell people that, you know, just expand your mind and step out and just do it safely, and you have You know, now you have platforms like, you know, Mr. Shari and Catnip to assist you with growing in what you're doing. Just, you know, come out of your box a little bit and take it in baby steps.
Yep, just like a turtle. Peek your head out of the shell. See how I brought that right back for all of us?
I love it.
All right. Well, thank you for joining us tonight, and thank all of our listeners as well. You're listening to Mischief Matters Radio. You can find us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, everywhere, radio at mischiefmatters.com. And, you know, just remember, a little mischief matters. Thank you, and have a good night.